Okay, so welcome. This is our second learning event already of this program cycle. For some people, this is their last learning event. That would be for Scott. Scott started last October, and so this is his very last learning event, and then he has earned his certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. So that's exciting for you, Scott. So I'm so glad you could join the conference call. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting our call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlen-Deng First Nation and Tonkawa Council in Whitehorse. And as you might have noticed, this learning event will explore some of the things that as recreation leaders you need to know and be able to do when you either work or volunteer with your community. And as we work through this learning event, your path through the field, if you're new to the field, or even if you're rediscovering a pathway or starting out with a new community, your pathway as a recreation leader might become a little clearer. You might find some things, that directions that you want to take, ways that you want to go, or for somebody like Scott, where you're just finishing up your certificate, it's a great opportunity to think about where you want to take your career and your career path next. So if you have the slides open, you'll see that slide 4 tells us that we're going to talk a little bit about leadership qualities and characteristics, and then we're going to look at some of the competencies, and that's kind of a big word, but when I think of competencies, I think of things that we know, that we can do, and our beliefs around those things. So that's kind of what I think of as a competency. So we'll look at some of those, and for those of you who might supervise other staff, like if you have people working for you or volunteering for you, it's really great to understand some of those competencies for the field of recreation, because then you can help your staff develop some of those as well. And you'll have a chance to set some goals to grow as a leader. So our agenda is going to be similar to what we do in all of our learning events. We'll start with a round of introductions, and each time they'll be a bit shorter because you'll get to know each other a bit better. And usually I just ask you to add something to who you are in your community. And the reason why it's helpful to say your name again, even though some of you I can see on the screen, some of you we just have a phone number. So then I start to associate phone numbers with names or names with voices. So if you can just introduce yourself with your name and your community. You can tell us what your role is in your community or your recreation role if you want to. And then I'd like to invite you, if you feel comfortable doing so, sharing one of your leadership strengths. So our circle today is going to start with Olivier, not to put you on the spot. And then we'll go to April, then Igor, Robin, Scott, Myla, Deanne, and Dan. I'll start off while you're thinking of your answer, Olivier, to the first question. So I'm Caroline Sparks, and I'm in Whitehorse. And I think perhaps one of my leadership strengths, it can be a weakness too, but I really believe in a community effort. So I don't mean a community, but I mean, I believe in teamwork. So to me, working as a team is really important because we all bring different strengths. So I think that's one of my strengths. I hope that's one of my strengths. So that's a little bit about me. So let's go to Olivier, and then April, and then Igor. And you just have to unmute.
Yeah. Hello. Hi, everyone. Last week I didn't have, my camera was not working, so I'm glad that it's working so people can actually put the image on my name. I'm Olivier Lanchi. I live here in Cambridge Bay. I just actually started working at the recreation department. I used to work at the Department of Water and Sewer for 8 years, but I always wanted to work in recreation. So I'm happy to be on recreation. I'm happy to learn, so I'm hoping by taking this class and having a wonderful people like you, that I can learn more and be able to serve my community properly. I think one of my strengths is the fact like I love to bring people together, so and I get along very well with people. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm working on this department, and I hope I can bring something good. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Over to you, April, if you could just introduce yourself and if you feel like it, share a leadership strength that you have.
Hi, everyone. I'm April Olisi, and I'm the Recreation Director for Hulu Hopso. My strength, I would think, is organizing. I'm well organized. I love organizing events. So.
That's great. That's a really strong, good strength in recreation because people love events. So thanks, April. Okay, Igor, over to you, and I'll mute my phone while, or my computer while you unmute yours, because I think that helps.
Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. As Olivia said, this is an opportunity for all of us to learn from each other and become better leaders in the future. My name is Igor. I live in Tulita in Northwest Territories. I'm the recreation director here in Tulita. And about my leadership strength, I will mention my one of the greatest strengths is to deeply motivate and inspire people. So since ever, I had that opportunity, that ability to motivate and inspire people, and after some time, people become better and become more valuable member of this society. So that's just for me. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Being able to motivate and inspire people is definitely important in recreation, because sometimes we want people to be active and participate, and sometimes it's hard, you know, you're tired after a day. So that's wonderful. Thanks, Igor. Okay, we're going to go from Robin to Scott to Myla to Deanne to Dan. So over to you, Robin, for an introduction and one of your leadership strengths.
Hi, everyone. I'm Robin. My recreation leader roles are the rec director for the Marsh Lake Community Center, as well as the royal mentor for the Yukon Sourdough Rendezvous Quest for the Crown contest. One of my leadership strengths, I would say, is communication. I have a strong background in advocacy and HR, and communicating is really important to me, and so I try to listen to the way that people communicate, and I think it's really important to have people having conversations about stuff to get things done and be able to, like, communicate very clearly expectations and timelines and things like that. So that's what I would say is my leadership strength.
That's great, and that just made me think of a session that we could do at a Yukon recreation gathering. Thanks, Robin. Wonderful. See you next year. Thanks. Okay, we're going to go to Scott, Myla, Deanne, and Dan. So over to you, Scott, for a brief introduction and sharing one of your leadership strengths.
Hi, I'm Scott. I am the executive director of the Hay River Youth Center in Hay River Northwest Territories. And I think one of my leadership strengths would be that I really have a deep belief in what people can do. So I really like seeing people achieve that are, you know, working with me and for me.
That's a great quality to have when you're working with youth, because that really is so supportive of their growth and development. So thanks for sharing that, Scott. Over to you, Myla. To introduce yourself and share one of your leadership strengths.
Hey, I'm Myla, and I live in CarMax. I am the rec director's assistant, and I work in EMS. I believe one of my leadership strengths are building and maintaining relationships and networking along with that.
That's great. Thank you. I can see why you're in recreation as well, then, from that strength. So I'm drawing down everyone's strengths, so it paints this really neat picture of sort of some of the leadership strengths that we all bring to recreation. So thank you, Myla. Over to you, Deanne, and then to Dan.
Hey, everyone. My name is Deanne. I'm working at the Quash Forum, the which are one of my strengths is, I would say, patience. Patience is the big strength, and patience and the positivity, I would say, is the two big strengths for me. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. That's a very good leadership skill to have. So sometimes people take longer to change than other people. So thanks, Dan. And Dan, from Whitehorse all the way over to you in Tangerton, if you'd like to introduce yourself and share one of your leadership strengths.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dan. I live in Pangertong, and I work as the rec coordinator. I'd say one of my biggest skills that I use is my organization. I think I'm really good at attention to detail and all that stuff, and I think my patience is improving with this job.
Yeah, sometimes the pace at which things happen in the North requires first good organization skills and second patience. So thanks for sharing that, Jan. So welcome, everybody. And there are a few others who weren't able to join us this week, so hopefully they can join us next week. This week, what we encourage you to do is explore some of the leadership qualities and characteristics. And you just already introduced a whole range of ones, which paint a great picture of who we are in recreation and the characteristics that recreation leaders bring. Excuse me. When you do this week's RLA or required learning activity, it's going to be interesting to see if the leaders in your lives are people with whom you have close relationships or people you don't know personally. And Robin and April, thanks for posting already, because it always starts people off when somebody shares a post, because it kind of inspires them and helps them to think as well. And I noticed that, you know, I noticed who you've chosen, so you probably already know. So when others post this week, please take time to read it, because this is a really fascinating piece, and it helps us believe a bit more strongly in ourselves and the work that we're doing. A couple of you mentioned being positive, positivity, believing in people, and I think recognizing that a whole range of leadership strengths and characteristics make great leaders is really important to bring to recreation. So if you've looked at the presentation slides, slide 7 offers you two different resources to help you think about upbringing and how culture influences how we are as leaders. So one of those resources was the website for Northern Youth Abroad. And for those of you who are in Nunavut and NWT, you might be more familiar with Northern Youth Abroad. For those of you in the Yukon, we're not able to access it, but it's a really cool site to take a look at some of the experiences of the youth. And then the other thing that I shared was an excerpt called At the Heart of It, and it was Reflections on Leadership from Delaney, which is in the Northwest Territories. And I found that that was, like, for me, that's quite meaningful, because it explains from their cultural perspective a little bit about leadership. So I'd like to ask you, I'm going to give you two question choices, and again, you can choose one question to answer, you can answer both, or you can pass and listen to everybody else. And I'm going to jump into the middle of our circle, just so that we don't always follow the same order. So Robin, you look like you're pretty able if I put you on the spot with the first question, right?
Sure.
Okay, let me post both of them. I'll explain it while you think about it. And then you can choose one of the questions to answer, or you can say half and pass it to the next person and bring it around back to the end of the circle if you want to as well. But the questions are, how does culture or how we were raised influence how we think and feel about leadership? Or you can just say, you know, after exploring different perspectives on leadership, what really stands out for you. So you can answer one of those questions, both of those questions, or you can pass.
I think one thing that stood out for me is that I had a really hard time trying to decide, like, who is a leader in my life. And after talking about it a little bit with like my friends and partner, I think that what was really difficult for me is that I think it really anybody that you encounter in your life has the ability to teach you and to lead you. And so when I think about like a leader, I think I was confusing that with almost like a hero, like someone who embodies leadership, as opposed to like who are people who you look to for guidance, which in my life is sort of everybody on some level for different things.
That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And if you think about that, what you just said, it really shows how in recreation we have the ability to influence people from children through to youth to adults, right? So really important how we are as leaders if what you're saying is the case that a lot of people experience, right? So thanks for reflecting on that. Scott, we're going to go to Scott, then Myla, then Deanne. So Scott, you can comment on how culture or how our upbringing influences how we think and feel about leadership, or what sort of stands out for you from the different perspectives on leadership that have been shared so far.
I think I'll tackle the perspective one. And what kind of strikes me is that there's almost like, you know, two sides or a duality of leadership, in that part of it is about you being a leader and taking on certain tasks yourself and doing that on behalf of other people. And then the other side of it is engaging people and, you know, putting a team together and, you know, kind of creating the something that's more than the sum of its parts, so to speak.
Yeah, you must find that a lot working in with youth, right, in the youth center?
Yeah, I mean, like, literally there's two sides of my job. Right now I'm the only person in here because it's the admin time. You know, I'm printing checks. I'm constantly looking for more sources of funding. I'm organizing stuff. And this is the things that, you know, are asked of me as a leader because, you know, I'm paid to be in the leadership role for this. But then when we open the doors to youth, and, you know, my staff come and start their shift, it becomes that other side where it's about, guiding a team or really just like facilitating a team.
Yeah, and I wrote down the word sort of embodying, well, getting other people to develop as leaders, I think is what you're saying too, right? So that's really interesting. It's like a coin that's two-sided, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess a good leader kind of knows where both of those things end, right? So where it's better not to take on too much and to delegate to other people, and where it's better to not give too much to other people and, you know, keep certain things under your purview that are, you know, that are important that you keep control of, I guess.
Yeah, that's a tough balancing act sometimes, for sure. So thanks for pointing that out. That's great. Hi, Lorianne. I see that you just joined the call, so I'll add you in at the very end of the circle. We're just starting out. And I'm going to invite Myla next to share her thoughts on either how culture or our upbringing influences how we think and feel about leadership, or what sort of stands out after exploring different perspectives on leadership. So any thoughts on either of those questions, Myla?
Let's see. I mean, I definitely believe that culture does play a pretty large fundamental role in shaping leadership styles and approaches. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how to answer that at the moment.
And that's okay, because sometimes we don't know how to answer things, but the question is designed to let you reflect on it. And you might, you know, tomorrow or next year go, oh, yeah. Or when you're working with people, other people, or things like that. So totally okay to pass, or just want to listen to what other people's perspectives are. So thank you.
Thanks.
Deanne, any thoughts on either of those two questions, either how culture, and I know you're or you're newer to Canada and to the north, so maybe it would be interesting to hear from a cultural perspective how that influences how we think and feel about leadership, if you feel comfortable sharing that.
So I do have I'll take two examples actually. So the first example, what I felt when I was growing up as a kid or as a youth, was like, I had a very bad image about the leader or youth, you know. It was all related to something like I'm from India, right? So it's like politicians, right? You see politicians and they're always like, it's not like leading anything, but they're like all the bad thing you learn from them. So I had a very bad image, and then once I started growing up and started seeing my teachers, my captains, or my, the prefects in the houses and all, I started learning, no, it's not like that. It's the way of life, right? How people, they do the things in their life and how they can influence someone's life. So now it is like, and I had like every opportunity in the school, in the college, like they were always wanted to make me leader, and I don't wanted to do that. Like I just wanted to be like, just follow someone. But my perspective of thinking is totally changed now, and I do understand better what is the leader means, right? Yeah.
That's interesting. So, coming from different cultural backgrounds, how that influences our thoughts on leadership too. And then also when you end up living in a different culture to see if your own cultural values are more sort of stand out more, or if you fit, feel a little bit more aligned with the different values that you encounter. So thank you. Thanks for explaining that. I appreciate it. Dan, over to you, and then we'll go Olivier, April, Igor, and then Lorianne. So, Dan, any thoughts about either how culture or our upbringing influences how we think and feel about leadership, or anything that stands out for you about the different perspectives on leadership?
I think with culture, especially in North America or Canada specifically, everybody had their favorite hockey player growing up, and that person had an impact on those types of qualities, and however that hockey player kind of carried themselves could be a big impact culturally.
Yeah, I think sport definitely has an influence, whether it's hockey or something else. But yeah, hockey for sure would be one, I think. And Nunavut and the Yukon, I'm not so sure about NWT, but have had, a few people actually make it to the NHL and things like that. And that really makes a big difference in the lives of the kids too. So thanks, Dan, for sharing that. Olivier, I know that you've been in Cambridge Bay for 10 years, so you might have an interesting perspective as well on culture and upbringing, or where you are now, those sorts of things. So any thoughts?
I don't know. I say when, because I didn't grow up in Canada. I was born in Cameroon in Africa, Central Africa. And I started a sport very young, and my trainer was my role model, because I thought he was someone that had the patience, because I was not always very fast learning, and he had a lot of patience to teach me what I needed to know. So I took him as a model and moved forward to Canada. It was a little bit different. And coming here in Nunavut, I can see that anything that you have to do, you really need to be extremely patient to be able to do things here. To lead anything, you have to be patient. So, yeah, I think a good leader is someone who has a patient or who's passionate, because the patient will come if you have a passion.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. It's really interesting to see how your journey too, like Ian, how your experiences change, right? And I think perhaps having different backgrounds also makes you a little bit more open and receptive to new ways of approaching leadership. So whether it's that patience or one thing I've learned is the sense of time is different in the North than like I grew up in Vancouver. So the whole sense of time is different too. So thank you. April, over to you. Do you have any thoughts either on how culture or your upbringing influences how you think and feel about leadership, or any perspectives that stand out for you?
Yeah, culture influences and think and feel about leadership. A lot of our grandparents were built or born in igloos, and they always tell us stories about how things were run back then, how they are culturalized, and it pushes me more into being a leader with my culture and, you know, passing things on to our future generations. So that really influences me too, about what I think and feel about leadership.
Yeah, do you feel, like in the one article that from Delaney that I linked, it talks a lot about the responsibility of being leadership, a leader. Do you feel that the elders pass on that responsibility, or your parents, your grandparents?
Yeah, a lot of the elders here want to pass on their knowledge and teach us how to be leaders in the North. And want to pass on the culture, and, you know, we don't want to lose it or anything nowadays with, like, technology and all that. So it influences me a lot to do a lot of things not on social media or anything like that. So
that's great. Thank you. And one thing I heard, that we worked with somebody from Six Nations in Ontario, and he was explaining that now too, sometimes it's not just the elders that are knowledge keepers, but sometimes elders see other people in the community who might be younger in age as knowledge keepers as well. So, you know, I don't know if that sort of a pattern is happening anywhere else outside of the Six Nations, but I thought that that was quite interesting, because it goes along with the notion that maybe there's some responsibility associated with being a leader that is passed on culturally. So,
I see that a lot here too, that the elders, you know, they want to learn quite a bit too about nowadays. So there's leaders, like youth leaders and all that, and I see the elders paying attention to quite a bit.
Thanks, April. Thanks for sharing that. Igor, over to you. You've been into LIDA, I think, for maybe 10 years as well, or something? No, not that long. Okay. I'll let you jump in.
So I moved first to Vancouver. I lived 9 years in Vancouver, and then I moved to Chilita. And to answer your question, when I joined this call, I worked for the Northern store first here in Chilita, and you asked me about barge and everything. So and then I switched to Hamlet of Woody and the recreation park. I live on a half, and I'm staying at some role model for the parents. Is that maybe after the family in the community, and I think that has on the leadership style. Also, I think that the personal qualities also, for example, if someone is a little bit louder or one is a little bit quiet, also has a great impact. And finally, we as leaders, I think our duty is to help and to influence it.
Thanks so much, Igor. You cut out a little bit in the middle there, but I think I got the gist of it. So at the end of the call, we'll talk about how you can use both the phone and your computer, and then that, I think, will make it a little easier for it. It sort of seems to come in and go, and it must be the internet in Toledo, maybe. So, Lorianne, I know you joined a little late. I'm wondering if you wanted to introduce yourself, and no worries about joining late. I didn't mean to put it that way. I'm just glad you could join us, and I noticed Chanel's joined us too. So, Lorianne, maybe you could just introduce yourself and your community, and do you have any perspectives about leadership or how culture influences leadership that you wanted to share?
Yeah, hi, good morning. My name is Lorianne Bertrand. I am from Nahanni Butte, North Coast Territories. And yeah, I was actually just trying to type out my answer for this, but I accidentally sent it in the chat. But I did manage to type it out. It's so funny because I have a strong sense of leadership in my community. I've been raised in a really large family, so mostly women in my family, so I have a strong sense of women leadership in my family. So I could see from them how they take on a different role within our family, and then they all have different qualities of leadership within our family. And for myself as well, I work different positions with my community, so I have that strong sense of leadership. And I started pretty young being involved in my community and working with the chief and council along with the elders and youth. I've been on and off working with the community for almost 10 plus years. I started working for my community as soon as I was out of high school, and then I did university for a year and a half, and then I came back to work with my community. And I also see a strong sense of woman leadership within my community as well.
Thanks for sharing that. It's really interesting how you're not only your community but also your family and your family structure influences how you're a leader, and I think that there's some strong female leaders too, and I think that there's ways that perhaps we might do things differently, not only because of our cultural background, but maybe also because of our gender identity as well. So thank you for sharing that. Chanel, I know you joined us just joined, so I don't want to put you on the spot with answering a question unless you feel like it, but I'm wondering if you could just unmute and introduce who you are in your community.
Hi, so I'm Chanel. In my community, I've always worked with the youth, like ever since I was a youth. Like I've been working here I've worked here since I was in high school, and I know every single kid in CarMax. I could see them anywhere in the Yukon. They're like, hi, Chanel. I would be like one of their safe people. I hope I am anyway. Like a lot of them come to me about their concerns and stuff, and I try to help them as best I could. So I hope I'm one of their safe people. So like a youth safe person, I guess.
Thanks, Chanel. That's really neat because we started our circle with Robin, and Robin talked about how, you know, there's so many different leaders in your life. It's not just one sort of hero or anything like that. And I think that you ending our circle conversation with talking about the safe person, that's a great way to bring it full circle. So thank you very much for doing that. And it's great to hear. I won't put you on the spot with the other questions right now. So you can. So we've got about 20 minutes left, so I just wanted to go through a tiny bit more content, and then I do have one more question for everybody in the circle. And next time around, we won't start with Robin. I'm going to put Deanne on the spot next time, so just so you know where our circle starts next time. So I keep you guys on your toes. So as you can see, if you have a look at the slides, slide 8 and our conversation so far, especially our conversation so far, show that there's many different ways to be a leader in our communities. There's many different things you can do. There's many different qualities and characteristics. And some of you might have filled some of the roles that are on slide 8, but there's also a number of other ones. And especially when you work in a hamlet, like Olivia, you talked about starting with water and sewer and shifting over. You know, there's a lot of different roles that actually recreation prepares you to do well. So a great field to be in from a career perspective as well. When you recognize the sort of characteristics that we've been doing on this call and the qualities that leaders have, then you can be better positioned to inspire those in others. So in the people that you work with, in the participants who come to your program, and even in your families, you know, you can start to build leaders. On slide 10, I shared a story. It's from Rankin Inlet. David Clark has been the recreation coordinator in Rankin Inlet for quite a while. So some of you may or may not know David. David shared a story back in 2015 when he helped us, the Rec and Parks Associations of the different territories, come together and be nominated for the Arctic Inspiration Prize. And the one thing that stands out for me from David's story, and even though it's 8 years old now, I still bring it back through this learning event, and it's his message that when he says, it's paramount, or it's really important, or it's really critical that leadership is shared among many. So just something to think about. If you have the presentation slides open, that quote is on page 10 or slide 10. So again, it's paramount or important that leadership is shared among many. So think about it. If David is right, that we need many people to be leaders in different ways in our communities, how do we do this? So recreation leaders are so important in community recreation. Without leaders, it doesn't matter if you have a brand new facility like Carmack's Arena, which I get to see next week, or lots of equipment to play volleyball or hockey, or lots of grant money for your organization. Because really, leadership is what makes recreation happen. It's not the things we have, it's what we do. So to wrap up our call, I'd like to go around our circle one more time. And I'd like you to think about, if leadership needs to be shared among many, how do we strengthen or build or expand recreation leadership and capacity in our community? So what do we do to make sure that in our communities, you are not the only one leading recreation, that you have other people helping? And I know some of you have already answered this question in different ways, like Robin in last week's RLA, you talked about getting an 11-year-old helping out at your fall festival. So that might be one way to answer this question. But I just would like to go around and get your thoughts on this. So we're going to start with Deanne, then we'll go to Dan, Olivia, April, Igor, Lorianne, Chanel, Robin, Scott, and Myla. So just a slightly different rotation in our circle. So Deanne, any thoughts on how we can strengthen leadership for recreation in our communities and across the North?
So strengthening the leadership quality, I see two prospectively. First aspect is you don't have to have all the, you know, the coaching certification, or if you have, that's great, like leadership quality and all this, the courses you can do, that's great, you can have it. But it's all about the breaking the ice, right? Getting, like, just opening, you know, and trying to find out the same kind of interest. If the interest can be, okay, let's, you know, guys, just start speaking to the group or people around you, and then start figuring out what is your interest looks like. Okay, do you want to play sports? Do you want to do dancing? So forming the group is the one thing. And then definitely the second aspect is engaging everyone, right? So if everybody's interested, their interest in one aspect, and like not trying to be bossy like boss, but trying to engage everyone, giving the same kind of responsibility, you know, whatever they are like capable of. Like somebody in the group, they're capable of building up, let's say marketing, they're good in the marketing. Like Robin said earlier, like, cause he's good in the HR or something, right? So we can use whatever the strength they have and engage that. And that's how we can, and definitely in the North America, like what I have built here in Whitehorse or in the Yukon, most of the stuff are run by volunteers only. So definitely we need the leaders, right? And the transfer of training from one leadership group to another leadership group. Like if you're a coach of, well, let's say I'm coach of a squash, I can coach you other sports, or I can share my experience of fidget background into different, you know, different sports and different fields. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. So building and creating that interest and then bringing everybody in and sharing some of the leadership things to sort of disperse or make everybody a bit more responsible, make everybody a little bit more taking on that leadership for the activities that happen. Thanks, Kian. Let's go to Dan. And again, it might be interesting to compare the different communities as well. So Dan, in your community and or across the North, what are your thoughts about how we strengthen leadership for recreation?
I'd say just kind of passing down your skills and paying it forward, almost. Like somebody were to teach you something, make sure you hold on to that knowledge and the younger generation.
Great. And I think another thing that I read in one of your posts too was about sort of making sure that you had different age represented on your, say, on your recreation committee so that, you know, you're not just creating leadership in one age group like youth, right? But that you're sort of trying to encourage it to happen across the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Dan. Olivier, over to you, then April, then Igor. Any thoughts about how you can strengthen leadership for recreation in your community or across the North?
I think what the previous has been said, it summarized what I think on how we can build a good leader in the community. I think the most important is to identify what are the strengths of people and encourage them to express it and bring people together. If they're involved, they end up leading, most of the case. When people are involved and they love what they're doing, they want to make it, they want it to be so great that, and they realize very fast that to be able to bring the good of everybody, you have to be involved and you have to lead most of the time. Like I give you an example. We here in my, I just started in this department, like I said before, and my supervisor just hired a recreation junior recreation officer, and I believe that I'm gonna be his supervisor, and if I do a good job as a supervisor, she will be a good leader. So I think sharing will make a better leader.
That's great. And just coming back to what you said at the beginning about building on people's strengths, I think that that's a really important place to start, because there, sometimes thinking of being a leader is scary. There are things that maybe we don't feel like we do well or can't do or don't want to do. So starting with people's interests and strengths, as you said, I think is a great place to build their confidence, because it takes some confidence to develop as a leader too. So thank you. April, any thoughts from you for how you could strengthen leadership for recreation in your community and across the North?
Being involved and also being a part of boards, I'm a part of about 4 or 5 different boards, which are like, and some of them I'm chair. So I try to encourage my board members to be involved in a lot of a lot of events in the community and take courses, one of the courses like being something like this, or how to run a board. And so they, you know, have the strength to lead anything in the community that would need a leader for.
So then you're recognizing that being a leader isn't something that we automatically know how to do, that sometimes we need to develop the skills to be able to run a meeting or plan an event or things like that.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks, April. Igor, over to you. Any thoughts about how we can strengthen leadership for recreation in our communities or across the North? I just need you to unmute. There we go.
So if you have difficulties hearing me, just raise your hand, just not to talk and to waste any time. So I will say about this that I agree with David that we should come together as recreation family. But I also think on the other side that good leaders are rare. We must be careful who is part of the leader's family. Because management is one thing and leadership is completely different. So in my opinion, we should be careful between management and leadership. And yes, in order to be a good leader, personal skills and also personal development.
Thanks, Igor, and I really like how you distinguish between management and leadership, because I think sometimes, at least in North American society, we sort of blend those two things together, and we assume that if you're in a management role, you're a good leader, and we all know managers that are not good leaders. So there's some sort of hierarchy there. So I think that in small communities, that shared leadership it makes more sense. I think that we can do it a little bit better. So we're not putting somebody up on a pedestal and they can't reach what we're expecting them to reach. So thanks for pointing that out. And I think that aligns a little bit with what Scott has mentioned about the two different sides to leadership as well. Thank you. So from Igor, let's go to Lorianne and then Chanel, then Robin, Scott, and Myla. So Lorianne, do you have any thoughts of how you can strengthen leadership for recreation in your community? And I know you've talked about how your family and your community has helped you grow as a leader, but are there things that you do to help grow new leaders in your community?
Yeah, just recently we had a brief meeting of I'm not sure if you ever heard of the land guardian mentorship.
Yep.
We'll be having that implemented into our community pretty soon, so that will give kind of like a job opportunity and also give the young people an opportunity to be mentored by some of the older community members, such as like a couple elders that would be able to mentor them and kind of guide them to how to navigate on the land, survey the land and water. So that gives them that sort of responsibility as well to develop that leadership skills to become guardians within the community to, you know, protect our surroundings of our land and our water, because we're also very close to the Nahanni National Park Reserve. So that gives a lot of, that builds and gives a lot of responsibility and kind of builds leadership within the young individuals in the community.
Lorianne, would you mind just briefly explaining, like I have a bit of an understanding, because I think the Southeast Yukon and Northwest, southwest of NWT have quite a strong land guardian program, but other people might not know what that is. Would you mind just explaining for a moment?
Yeah, so the guardianship program and mentorship is where you have individuals or young individuals do kind of land surveys. They survey the land. If there was any oil or gas spillage, they're the responsible to go and investigate, kind of sample the soil to make sure that it's not far absorbed into the soil. Or if there was like old tarps or old campsites, they go there and they clean it up just to preserve the land, and also with the water as well. If there was anything to contaminate the anything in the water to that contaminates with the fish or anything that involves with the water, that they are there investigating it, and they're the first one on hand to also to kind of be the main protectors of our land and our waters.
Thanks. It would be interesting to see if something like that would work in recreation, so thank you for sharing that. I just looked at my clock and somehow we got 10 minutes ahead of where I thought we were. So we'll go on to, we've got Chanel, Robin, Scott, and Myla. So maybe just if you guys can, not to cut you off, but just take about 20 to 30 seconds to share from your perspective how you think you might be able to strengthen leadership for recreation in your community. So Chanel, any thoughts on that?
So like in my community, everyone definitely needs a lot of encouragement, and that's what we try to provide. It's hard to give it to them when they're not interested. So we're trying to bring more our youth in and more people in. We have job opportunities and that, like, so a learn to skate coach. We're looking for a learn to skate coach because our rink is opening up pretty quick here. So, and then they would teach younger kids how to skate. And like it's just it gives them the opportunity to be a leader to these younger generations beneath them, and like more access to activities that they actually enjoy. Like they really love volleyball here, so we try to have volleyball every week as much as we can. We encourage it; it's free. Like it's just our involvement and attendance, I guess, that lacks. That doesn't give us the opportunity to show how to be leaders or to give them opportunities to be better leaders.
So that comes back to what Deanne was saying about you have to kind of generate that interest first before you can create leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Thanks, Janelle. Robin, how about your thoughts on strengthening leadership for recreation?
I mean, my petty answer is when people come to me with all these ideas of like a million things that they want us to put on is to be like, great, are you going to run it? But really being clear about my capacity and where I'm at and being able to communicate, like, I think that's a great idea. I will support you in it. I don't have the capacity to put that on by myself. I have all of these other things going on. But if this is an idea that you're passionate about, I will help you to make it happen.
That's great for you to have me laughing because I know of so many of those examples, so for sure. Igor, yeah, give me a shout after your next meeting. I'll pop my phone number in the chat, so sorry, I just saw your chat pop up. Thanks, Robin. Scott, over to you, and then Myla, and then we'll wrap up our call. So, Scott, any thoughts about strengthening leadership for recreation in our communities?
I think a big part of leadership is passing down knowledge. I've been in a lot of organizations that did have terrific leadership, but there just wasn't that transfer of knowledge, you know, to the next people in line. So when those people eventually moved on, retired, whatever, suddenly all that valuable knowledge goes with them, and then the organization suffers because of it. So I think that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, so especially in nonprofit organizations, I think, too, that's a really big, well, in any small community, so thank you. And Myla, any thoughts from you about strengthening leadership for recreation in your community or across the North?
I think multiple leaders are good. It's such a wide spectrum of different types of leaders, and you know, everybody has their strengths in their own areas. So to be able to work together on that would be absolutely fantastic. I definitely agree with stop passing of knowledge. There's so many times where people have like best positions, and then the next person in line just, you know, is kind of thrown to the wolves, unfortunately. So I think that's super important. And, you know, to find a mentor, and if you can't find one, be one if you can.
That's great. Thank you. And yeah, so that kind of comes back to the sort of transition that we experience in recreation in our small communities and trying to build more leaders than perhaps as people come and go, there's at least some people to carry some of that weight. So thanks everybody for your thoughts. Just to wrap up, you know, remember, as I think Robin, you pointed it out early in the call, that in recreation, we have opportunities to be a leader and also role model in the lives of children and youth who come into our programs and the adults who come to our special events. So I'd really like to acknowledge and recognize all of your commitment to being a leader in recreation. You're doing it in your own way with your own special characteristics and qualities, and it's absolutely amazing because you're making a difference in the lives of others. So thank you very much for taking that step and being bold and courageous, because sometimes recreation, as Robin said, everybody points their finger at you. So thanks for being willing to try and share it and spread it around as well. So your first required learning activity, or RLA, is due on Sunday. And I think our conversation today will help you reflect a little bit on it. And then please read each other's posts. Next week, you're going to take a little bit of time to explore competencies that recreation leaders use and then develop your own leadership growth plan. So you might want to look ahead to that, because that might take a little bit more time. So this wraps up our first conference call. After I stop the recording, I always stay on the line. So if you have any questions, or you want to ask me anything, and I will share how to find the learning events that we're working on. I'll do a little video capture and send it out to you. So, Guanashish, merci, Kwana, Nathamik, thank you, merci. Thanks for joining us today, and stay on the line if you have any questions. Otherwise, have a great day, and I will see you next week.
Thanks, bye.
So, Igor, did you want to connect after your meeting?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to try. I have a new laptop. I'm going to try to use my new laptop next Wednesday for the men and part. And then also, I will try to turn off my video. I think that will help with the bandwidth and everything, because calling from my phone, I don't have like experience that I want to have with my computer. Like, I watch everyone, and it's pretty much more pleasant experience for me. So what I suggest is for next week, take my laptop and turn off my video, and then go from there. If that works, good. If not, you'll find some other solution.
And actually, last year, Igor, I heard more. I'm just going to mute you for a sec. Last year, I had really bad internet. I had like DSL-5, and I've got good internet this year. And what I would do is you can actually phone in with your phone, and then you can add on your computer, but you don't use your audio on the computer. You use your audio on the phone, so you're connected two different ways. And that worked great for me last year, because your computer isn't using all of the internet for audio, which is taxing sometimes. So what I'll do is I'll send you instructions how you can do that, and you can also try that too.